This is a reading from Whispers from Eternity. Demand that through all tests and trials, the love of God may never fade. O Spirit, I care not if all sufferings come to me, or all things be taken away from me. I pray only that my love for Thee never fade through my own negligence. May my love for Thee burn brightly forever on the altar of my constant remembrance. I was thinking about this reading yesterday that Lakshmi just read. The story came to my mind after many years. It's a story from my childhood. I don't know where I heard it or what the source of it actually is. As you will see, it's not a true story. It's more like a fable. And this is a story about a village in India that had a few hundred people. And there was a temple at the center of this village. And one fine day, a holy man, a saint, decided to come visit this temple, and he just stayed there. He didn't leave. And just as it happens in India, you know, people start flocking around him. They bring him offerings. They start taking his blessings. They come greeting him. And then eventually they start pouring all their problems at his feet, asking for solutions, asking for blessings. And this goes on for a while. And, you know, just like people everywhere, everybody came with their own set of problems. Somebody was having health challenges, somebody was having financial difficulties, somebody wanted their daughter to be married, somebody wanted a new job, somebody was not happy with their husband, whatever it was. They came and poured all of it at the feet of the saint, and this went on for a few days. And one day this holy man realized, you know, he had to do something. This is just continuing on, and he cannot do much about it. So he sends out an announcement to the village, and he says, I want all of you to come to this temple with all your problems. He says, I understand that your problems are very dire, that everybody is convinced that their problems need the most attention and they are the worst. So I have an idea for you. You should wrap all your problems in a bag, carry it on your back, and bring it to the temple on the new moon day. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to give you a solution. I'm going to give something that is more suitable for you that you can actually handle. And, you know, a new moon day comes and everybody is excited. They start putting all their problems and struggles in a bag and they start wrapping it up. And they start walking towards the temple with this bag on their back. And as each person is walking, they also start noticing all the other bags, that everybody is carrying a bag on their back. And they all look very different. And they start to think, maybe that bag is worse. It looks more complex. This other bag looks more unwieldy. And they're thinking about all of this as they are walking to the temple. They had never paid that much attention to what everybody else was working with. And they reach the temple and this holy man says, you know, I understand you've come here to get rid of all your problems and I want to give you a solution. The solution I'm going to give you is this, that you all take a survey of the room, look at everybody else's bag of problems. I'm going to switch off the light for the next few minutes and everybody drops their bag and you can walk to any part of the room and pick up any bag that you find is suitable for you, whatever you would like. And so everybody surveys the room and then he switches the light off and everybody has dropped their bag and after a few minutes he switches the light on and guess what? Everybody's standing next to their own bags. They had not moved an inch and they all take their bags and walk home, of course. Our problems, like the reading says, you cannot just throw ink on it. It's not as easy to just put it in a bag and drop it off at the temple. And it's not a true story, but there is a message in it. I mean, there's more than one message in it. But one of the messages is this universal delusion or temptation, this temptation to believe that it would all be just better if I didn't have my bag, if I could just not have all the things that I'm struggling with, whatever they are. If I could just get rid of this off my back, then I would be better off. I would be happier. I would be freer. Things would be so much better if I just didn't need to carry it. And this is so subtle. I mean, we are talking about Satan and temptation and all of this. And these are such subtle things that we often don't notice how we are always looking for that shortcut. Interestingly, Yudhishthira opened this morning with that. What he was talking about meditation and yoga as being the shortcut. I think of it as being the noble or the high path. But often the shortcut that we think of or imagine in our own minds is somehow to bypass and skip all those steps and get to the goal where we want to go, whatever that is, whatever the goal that we are convinced is going to make us happy. I want to lose a few pounds and be healthier, but I'm not that keen on eating healthier or, you know, doing exercise a few times a week. I want to learn a new language. I want to play a musical instrument. But, you know, I don't have time to take classes. I don't want to put in all the hours of practice. Now, I'm giving silly examples, but you could expand it to all those other bigger questions in our own life. All the things that we want, we are desperately seeking and we are assured are going to make us happy. And still, we are being held back. Somehow we cannot get there. And sometimes the goals are realistic or unrealistic. It just depends, you know. Sometimes there are things that our heart is yearning for that we just know we cannot even have in this life. Sometimes we just want things that we cannot even have. But the truth is, even the very fact that our heart yearns for it, our mind conceives of it as a goal, simply means that there is a potential, that our soul has recognized a potential for us to have it. Otherwise, our hearts wouldn't yearn for it. Otherwise, we wouldn't even imagine that it would make us happy. And that's what drives us. That's what drives us to seek all that we are seeking. And this verse from the Gita talks about all the things that are holding us back. The smoke that obscures the vision of the fire, the rust that is covering the mirror, and the embryo that you're carrying in the womb, all this obscures you from being able to live up to that potential, to be able to see that light clearly because it is being obscured. Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita, is calling it the three gunas. The three gunas being sattva, rajas, and tamas, as Swamiji describes. These are the three qualities or the modes of nature itself. Another way that we can also call it is karma. Because what is karma after all? All that is holding us back. You know, it's a funny word, karma itself. It has become so common in the English language and so widely used in the West. You sometimes hear it in the most unexpected of places. I think some time ago I heard it in a news interview in Primary Hour, and I think you find it in bumper stickers on cars. You know, you hear it in all sorts of places when people use it to explain something that they cannot give any other explanation for. But the reality is, if karma can explain something, it has to explain everything. That it is that fundamental law that drives all of nature that is obscuring all that we are from ourselves. Why we cannot live up to our own potential, it is because of all these weaknesses and limitations. But these are patterns of energies. These are not energies that have been put in front of us. These are energies we ourselves have manifested through repeated actions over many, many, many incarnations. We have created this. We created that smoke. We created that rust. And we have created that embryo that we are carrying. And we carry on with that. And life presents us opportunity after opportunity. We are dealt with lesson after lessons, whether it is in the form of struggles, tests that come to us, even happy experiences, whatever it is all but karma. Every moment of every day, we are being dealt all of this that are a result of our own past actions. And that's really what the Bhagavad Gita verse is talking about, of how we start working with it based on what level we are interacting with this energy, all that's obscuring us. But you see, it's not all that mysterious. You don't have to go about seeking it, because the most fundamental of all desires is this yearning for us to find that perfect happiness. And as long as that is obscured, we are going to be compelled from inside. We are going to be driven, and all these things are going to keep coming to us. And that's really what we think of as this long trajectory of one incarnation, which seems long in this expansive time that we spend, but really it's much short. It's relatively short in view of the many, many cycles that we go through. But everything that comes to us, this trajectory that we call destiny, is but our own energy that is drawing all this to us, drawing our attention to all that obscures us, all that holds us back. That bag we carry is in fact a gift. That bag is what is going to tell us how we can actually uncover, discover who we are. And we do that bit by bit. Life itself is not sometimes what we expect it to be. We don't know where we are going to end up. All the things that we draw to us, the unique circumstances, the relationships, and everything, whether we plan for it or it's not planned. I was talking to a friend recently, and she was, you know, we are very good friends, and she was telling me, we both have very, very different backgrounds. We come from different cultures, different educational backgrounds, different professions, a very different life before we came onto the spiritual path. And she just looked at me and said, you know, if we had not chosen this guru and the spiritual path, do you think we would have ever met? That we would have even met each other in this life, that we have come together in any way? And I said, the answer, of course, was no. There's no way we would have actually met some other way. But then I thought about it, but I wouldn't have met anybody. I wouldn't have had anything in my life. And that is not just about, you know, finding my guru or my spiritual path, but every single piece that was laid out, all the relationships, all the friendships, every unique circumstance that I drew to my life could not have happened any other way. It just had to expand and span out and unfold in this particular fashion. And it's not just true for all the dramatic and the spectacular moments, but even the most mundane details. I'm here talking to you. You know, I could just imagine going back 10 or 15 years when I was in college. I was in India, as you can see. And I was, you know, 20 years old in college studying computer engineering. And if somebody had told me, you know, 15 years from now, you're going to be living in Silicon Valley and you're not going to be working for Google or Apple. You're going to be serving in an ashram and you're going to be standing on a dais on a Sunday morning wearing white robes and talking to a room full of people. You know, I would have found that so far beyond my imagination, let alone all. And it's not all that long back. But all of these pieces, they come together in this interesting way. For this moment was I made, where we all made, all of us are here. We have been brought here because of this unique trajectory of all the things that are coming to us, all the opportunities, every minute of every day, with one singular purpose. We think we are here doing all kinds of things, you know, fulfilling our careers, raising families, children, you know, whatever it is, trying to be spiritual, learning to meditate. But all that we are doing through all of this is just this one thing, or going back to the verse from Gita, three things. We are trying to clear the smoke. We are trying to rub the rust off of the mirror. And we are doing this while carrying the embryo, because we cannot do anything about it until the embryo is actually ready to come out. And everything, every moment of our lives, like I was saying, not just the most life-transforming moments, not just turning points, but even the most mundane of, you know, going grocery shopping, of doing laundry, we were made for those moments. And even those moments carry in them the same teaching, the same opportunity. All of it is just this opportunity for us to clear bit by bit, minute by minute, that is obscuring us from that vision, from that potential of our own soul. When somebody asks Swami Kriyananda, is everything karma? And every detail of our life, all that we go through. And he said, of course, yes. What about the color of the tie I picked to wear today morning? If I picked a red tie, is it because of my karma? And he said, of course, yes, it is. Now it is, you know, it is obviously a very humbling teaching to even think about. Then what is our role in this? I'm not going to go into the discussion of free will or karma. Of course, there is a role in it. It is the choice that we are making. What comes to us is because of this energy that we are trying to fulfill and resolve. And what we do with it is our choice. It is our seed of will that we can apply to this, whether we actually clear the smoke off or end up adding a little more smoke on top of it. That is a choice that we keep making. And sometimes we are better than others. Sometimes we do it better than other times. But the opportunities are still coming to us with that one singular purpose. As much as it looks so diverse, as much as it looks like we are going through all these dramatic experiences in life, all that we are doing is bit by bit clearing our way back to spirit. And by the time we are doing all of this, by the time we are sitting in a room like this on a Sunday morning, there are so many things that we could all be doing on a Sunday morning like this. By the time we are here, we are so close. We are so close. It's a matter of time before whatever is left over is cleared and we can, in fact, live in that true potential. Yesterday, I was thinking about this question in the evening. How should we meet our tests? That is the title of the reading that we just read today. And I opened an email that I had received. I think I had received it yesterday morning or Friday night, but I didn't read it until last evening. It was from a friend. And this friend had written this email to some people and he had quoted a passage from Swami Kriyananda's writings. It was about old age. And there was a lot in that reading. It was just absolutely charming and very, very deep. But what caught my attention, especially what I found to be relevant to the questions that I was thinking about, was the very last line of this passage where Swamiji says, Clearly, he was writing it toward the very end of his life. And Swamiji writes, "I've faced many difficulties in my life, but they always seemed easy to me because I found all of it so worthwhile." And as I read that line, somehow, you know, like a song that you hear and you cannot get out of your head, it was sort of circling in my head constantly yesterday evening and today morning, his words, all of the difficulties that I faced. And if any of you know about Swami Kriyananda's life, if you have read anything, you probably know all that he faced, things that you wouldn't wish on anybody, friend or foe, all the difficulties that he had to live through. And he says, they all seemed easy to me because I found them worthwhile. What makes something worthwhile? What is worthwhile? Something is worthwhile because it has a purpose, because it has meaning, it has significance that you don't want to bypass, that there is something deeply, inherently purposeful in that thing that you would want it. And Swami Kriyananda talks about all these struggles. We go back to that funny story that I started with. These bags that we are carrying, this temptation is that universal temptation for that shortcut, for that favor. You know, I just wish I could go deep in meditation. Even with spiritual things like that. I just wish I don't have to deal with this back pain. I wish this were taken away from me. But the only right way to meet our tests, the only way even to transcend them, is to hold that attitude. Swami Kriyananda gives us that key, is to realize, first of all, that they're worthwhile. There's a purpose to it, not just any purpose, the highest of all purposes. Because every test, every opportunity, every lesson that comes to us, comes with this one message, that this is yet another opportunity. This is yet another opportunity for us to recognize, for us to realize something that is obscuring us from our own highest potential. And then we can start working on it. We can do something about it. If it's smoke, we can puff it off with a little bit of meditation. We can start rubbing that rust off. And we can do something. We can start making progress bit by bit. And there's a caveat here, which is an important one, which is also something the reading talks about a lot, which is our first inclination when we are faced with this opportunity, with anything that we are trying to bypass, which is most things, our first inclination is to untangle it with our minds, is to somehow get into it, grapple with its arms and somehow dismantle it piece by piece and do something with it. And that is again that irresistible temptation, that temptation which is almost deceptive, to want to solve everything on this plane of practicality, because that's how the mind works. Somehow I can get into this rust and now understand what all the pieces are and take it apart bit by bit. You see, it doesn't always work that way, because what we are yearning for, what's guiding us, what's driving us, is not the smoke or the rust. It is the light beneath. It's the fire. It's the fire of divine spirit. It's that pure shining consciousness, that unconditional bliss that is behind all of this. So the only way we can see any of this clearly, even to recognize which one of this is the smoke and which is the rust, or what should I do about it, it cannot happen unless and until we are tuning into that light. Because that's where the solution lies. It doesn't lie in trying to dismantle all the tiny bits and pieces of the problem itself, but to invite the light. Then we start seeing. That is the only way we start seeing where the smoke is, where the obscurity is. What can I do about it? How can I actually start scrubbing this off? And then we realize that it was worthwhile. It was worthwhile simply because there was no shortcut. And why would there be a shortcut? After all, we realize that all that there is, that is standing between me and spirit, me and absolute unconditional bliss, it is not the thing itself. If all of those were removed, if these tests were taken away from my life, I would still not be in that state of perfection, because the confusion was in me. All this was created by that confusion in me, and by taking those away, that confusion is still not resolved. And whether through yoga and meditation or by working at it every day of every hour of every day of our lives, approaching it with the right attitude, trying to lift it up to the light, through all these means, we have to face into them. We have to start treating this bag as our gift, because it's worthwhile. And then, as Swami Kriyananda promises, it becomes easy. Now that, I don't know how many of us can really see that right away. but we can at least see that it is worthwhile. And it is glorious. That's what it becomes, more than worthwhile. Worthwhile, I think, is even an understatement, because when we start seeing every moment as that opportunity for us to clear a little bit of that smoke, to be able to see this as an opportunity, this circumstance that life has brought to me, this relationship, this difficulty, this test, this struggle, when I can see that this was for that higher purpose, this was for my own understanding, this is worthwhile, then it starts to become glorious. This starts to become such an adventure that you don't want to get away from. So, God bless you all.
Sing out today, for now it's breaking, and the mountains say, it's only light can make the darkness run. Lift up your head, greet the rising sun, greet the rising sun. Some people think to harvest happiness by weeding troubles, using every snare. The trouble is that troubles never end. Get rid of war and you face his friend. And you face his friend. It's in your heart, the souls of joy resound. You'll hear the echoes in the world around. Ring gonna hear sounds lonely if you're sad, free if you're free, cheerful if you're glad, cheerful if you're glad. Come with me.